Welcome to the Round 10 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. I guess we're both happy this week. Cats and Bombers both getting up.
Yep. And our scores also moved us up in the ranking. So hopefully we're both sort of happy on that front as well, Mark. I haven't chatted to you since the weekend, but even though I just pipped you, hopefully you're in better spirits.
Moved up slightly. It's the first time in a number of weeks, so I guess that's a good thing.
This week, the conversation topics are going to circle around the fact that we have two teams that are now bye-free to choose from, and also look at some rookies to downgrade to, because it's going to be pretty key to have those rookies playing during the upcoming three-round bye period in rounds 11, 12, and 13. So we need to pay particular attention, Mark, in making sure that the blokes we downgrade to don't get dropped in just a couple of weeks' time.
Which has happened to pretty much all the rookies all season.
And it's happened to us a lot over the past few seasons as well. And that tends to be the case, doesn't it, Mark? Just because, you know, this late in the season, it's rare, unless there's been sort of freak injuries, that you're all of a sudden going to have a player come in, have good scoring potential and good job security. It's rare that happens.
That's right. So pretty much all the rookies come with a pretty high risk.
So hopefully tonight's show will help you navigate that risk. But before we get into all that, let's start off, as we do each week, Mark, with a personal update. Why don't I kick us off for the week? I scored 22.98, which I think pipped you and then moved me up back into the top 2,000. So ranked 15.76 at the moment. I'm pretty happy with that, considering we both had Rockcliffe out, Mark. I decided to trade Wits in the end in order to hit all the sort of premiums that I want over the next few weeks. So I still have Marchbank, Newman, and Hoskin Elliott all in my team. So I'm hoping that I won't have to make any compromises in terms of upgrade targets by moving Wits out early. Tom Mitchell, 158, was absolutely massive for my team. Probably the noted highlight in my team. And I brought in Sam Doherty as well. He scored 101 in his first week in my team. And I'm happy to say this is the first ever time I've had this bloke in my team. And I'm psyched about it.
Yeah, he's been pretty fun this year, mate. He just keeps getting it done. Who did you trade Wits to?
I traded Wits out to Doherty, and I brought in Myers as well. So I have a little bit of kitty sort of left in the bank to hopefully help out with next week's upgrade as well.
Cool.
How'd you go, mate?
I also traded Wits. I traded Wits to Goldstein, who posted 135 straight up, which was very nice, and brought in Myers as well. So don't have a lot of cash, but I've got four rookies still on my field, or four people that need upgrading. So I'll be looking into them over the next couple of weeks. I scored 22.35, ranked about 5,200. Reasonably happy with that. It was good to see Tui get a good score after bringing him in the week before.
Yep.
I was still pretty confident in that pick. He seems like he could score pretty well.
All right. Unfortunately, we can't do our group update again this week because the Supercoach website seems to be bugging up and it's not showing us our group, which kind of sucks. It's been 2 weeks in a row now, so I'll send a note to Pete Yank. Hopefully, we'll get it resolved and we can continue giving updates on how our community is going at large. In terms of our overall leagues, Mark, we're also having issues with the top 20 league rankings, but it appears that we still do have 8 of the top 9 leagues at the moment, even if the current top 10 that's being displayed at the moment are not accurate.
It's very random, yeah. Hmm. If anyone knows who Zmeichel's league, I don't know how to say that, Zmeichel's comp is, let us know.
On to the actual show now, Mark. So as discussed, we're going to talk about the buy free players. But before we get into that, let's have a quick chat about buy trade strategy. So I know we delved into it last week, but we've got a question here from Brad, or at BXE100 on Twitter. Do we downgrade this week and next to build a bank ready to trade in primos before the round 12 buy? Is there any point upgrading over the next 2 weeks? So again, you know, sort of consistent with last week, Mark, I don't think you look to stop trading at this point in time. I mean, the unfortunate part is no matter who you bring in, you're faced with a buy regardless at this stage. Well, actually, I guess you can choose from Port and Gold Coast players who are buy free, but a majority of the players will have a buy anyway. It's just something that you have to cop. If you stop upgrading, all it means is that you are one extra premium behind for the 3 weeks it takes to clear the buy period and get your trade in afterwards. So I'd say, even though it seems counterintuitive to be trading in a player that is then going to miss, you just have to continue your buy plans. And next week, Mark, is probably the only week where you'd consider maybe just downgrading. And the big reason for that is not to stop upgrading necessarily, but so that you bring in enough cash to be able to hit all your upgrades to sort of round 11 buy-free premiums. But that's probably the only real time I'd think about sort of holding off on upgrading is that very last round before the buys.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how our approach to the buys has probably changed over how long they've been in, probably 4 years or so now. That I think that in the first couple of years, we were probably really reluctant to be upgrading this close to the buys. But now I just seem way more relaxed about the buys, and it's just about getting the right amount of players per round, per line, into positions. So, like at the moment, an example, I have Doherty and Marchbank in my defense. They're my only round 11 buy players. So I'm quite happy to upgrade Marchbank to another round 11 buy player this week because it doesn't affect how many players I can actually get on field in round 11 anyway. So yeah, I'm pretty relaxed about the buys, just trying to make sure I'm going to have close to enough on each week and trying to get my bench that's actually playing. I really feel like that's where you can get stung a bit over the buys. And I know that a lot of people are holding on to people like Eddie and Pickett. If you have planned to have only 18 on field during one of the buy rounds and then a couple of rookies aren't playing and then you get a couple of injuries on top, which we've seen in previous years, then you all of a sudden you're down to 14 and 15 on field in a buy round, and that can really burn you quite a bit. So selections have been kind to me last week. Parsons holding his job, Fisher coming straight back in. So yeah, I'm okay with my bench, and I just want to get my bench right going into the buys.
Yeah, I think it's a very good call, Mark. And that might be another reason for potentially halting your upgrades is if you have too many rookies who aren't getting games at the moment and you're not confident that you'll be able to trade them next round for rookies that are still playing across the bar. So if next week you're dealing with Hibbert, Eddie, and Pickett, all three of them aren't going to play during the buys, and they're not three great rookies available all on the bubble next week, then you're kind of stuck up Schitt's Creek, basically, with having to carry a rookie that you just weren't able to trade because you kind of left it too long. So potentially that'd be the only reason why I might halt my upgrades this week and maybe force an early correction trade this week.
Maybe I'm hoping that that's going to happen because I know that there's a lot of teams sort of further up the top of the rankings that have just focused all of their energies on getting their on-field players right and are probably carrying quite a lot of these poor rookies, which I'm hoping across the buys that I can maybe make some more cash by having playing rookies because I've traded out the non-playing ones, and that I'll have more rookies playing across the buys, and that'll make a bit of a difference.
Let's move off general trade strategy now, Mark, and talk about some actual players. So these are the buy-free players that we're all excited to bring in. Tommy Lynch is right up the top of the list for mine, but we're not going to spend too much time talking about him this week just because he had an absolutely stinking game when he was up in China. He scored 29 in round 8, and so that means that his break-even's 154, and he's going to plummet over the next couple of weeks. So I don't think you should quite get him yet. The other player of note is Chad Wingard. I saw in the AFL website today that he's out with a calf injury for a couple of weeks. So,
really?
Yeah, you got to ignore him as well. I think probably just 30 minutes before recording, Mark, it popped up.
Okay.
Apart from that, though, we have some questions here. This one's from Brett Worrell. He's asking about Pittard and Gray, and also about David Swallow. And David Bailey's asking about Ebert and Harbrow. So why don't we start from the back line with Pittard? Thoughts on him?
I actually quite like Jasper Pittard as a selection. Out of all of these sort of important Gold Coast Suns players, he's one of the ones that I like better just because a lot of them are like nearly premiums, a bit like a Wingard. Sort of if he ended up averaging 90, which he is at the moment, Wingard wouldn't really work out. And Pittard, he might fall into the same category. He's averaging 86 at the moment, averaged 91 last year. You'd have to see an improvement closer to the 95 mark for him to come off. I think, look, he's as close as any, but not someone I'm considering personally.
The next bloke that we're going to talk about, Harbrow, he's only 472,000, which is only 14,000 more expensive than Pittard. And when you look at how Harbrow has performed this year, I'm not even sure how he's at that price, because Mark, he's hit 100 in 6 of his 7 games after coming back from an interrupted preseason. He's managing an average of 98 at the moment and still presents value if he keeps this up. Would you consider him?
Just too much risk for me. Based on the form that he's shown and the fact that maybe he has a different role this year, and it's clearer, and there does seem to be a lot more of these running defenders getting a lot of the ball, been threatening to do it for a long time. That's a lot of risk, though. Like, he's had 10 or so seasons and never averaged over 85. So what do you reckon? That's a pretty tough pick.
I think the age factor's got to rule him out for me, and sort of the hamstring factor or soft tissue factor rules Pittard out as well. So I would really only look to these guys if you're seriously struggling for cash and you really needed a buy-free option because you're under too much pressure in the other rounds. Quite hesitant on both these blokes. And even though they both show good potential, Mark, like you said, they carry risk, and I don't think that risk is factored into their current price point. So if they were maybe 440 or 430, then you'd think about it a lot more seriously. Moving on to the midfield now, how about Robbie Gray, David Swallow, and Brad Ebert? David Swallow first, maybe. He's an interesting one just because he's been in and out of teams all season. He's managed a 46, a 55, but he's also managed 88, 96, and 117. So really two sides of the coin here. He had injury concerns prior to the game. So he missed round 8 and then also has missed for the bye. So he should be back this round, Mark. But still, that doesn't really bode too well that sort of he comes back from an interrupted preseason, scores two poor scores and then misses two of the next 3 rounds after that.
2 weeks off, I think, is going to be awesome for him. You would probably expect him after 2 weeks off to come and at least play the next 4. And I guess that the reason you bring him in is that he plays 4 in a row and he averages close to 100 around that period, and then you trade him out. There's a lot of ifs there, and I think that my focus is probably on trying to get some fully upgraded players rather than bring in someone like Swallow. Maybe because I've already had him, I don't know, but everything would have to go exactly right for it to work out.
Think you've already sort of had mixed experience with a mid-price selection already this year, Mark. And I would tell a cautionary tale at a 330K starting price point in order to match an average rookie in terms of gain in value, he'd have to go up to close to 500,000. And in order to be able to do that in 4 weeks, he's going to need some pretty massive scores. He's going to need to be consistent as well in order not to halt that price movement. So seems very risky. I think I agree with you, Mark. There's another bloke that we're going to talk about a bit later on, Scooter Selwood. He, I would be a little bit more tempted by, and even though he's only 50K cheaper, I think that is quite relevant when you're looking for these sort of mid-price step ladders. So no Swallow for me in a week where Scooter just knocked out 100 at 280K.
Okay, yeah, that doesn't really factor in for me. I think it's, if you either like the strategy or you don't, in a sense.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I'm just thinking, like, even if I did like the strategy, I think I'd punt on Scooter over Swallow, regardless of the buy situation. Scooter is around 12 buy player, which helps as well.
Yeah.
How about Robbie Gray, Mark? I know you haven't been the biggest fan of him so far this season, and that's warranted because he scored twice under 40. His break-even's 181, and he's priced at 490K.
He's not playing midfield.
Mm.
Like, he's not playing the role where he was 115 scoring player. That just straight up indicates that I wouldn't be picking him. I've been wrong on Robbie Gray before, quite a few times actually, but like, he's apparently carrying a groin. Awesome playing at full forward. He's going to have some big games, but there's no way that I would be picking him this season.
And the last bloke that we got a question about, Brad Ebert. He's averaging 110 at the moment from the first 8 rounds. Gone up 100K. Hasn't really maintained this type of elite level scoring for a really long time, but if Port are looking like a top 8, top 6 team, then there's some chance that Ebert might move up into that bracket. Somebody's got to do the scoring in the midfield, and if Gray's not there, then there's definitely opportunities for players like Ebert.
So what's Ebert's price?
536.
Okay, so you can get some pretty good players at that. Like, you're looking at Selwood, Dusty, Treloar sort of players, so he'd need to be getting close to matching them, and that's where I think he maybe falls down. He's got the durability of his side. He's missed a couple of games in like 5 or 6 years. He has the bye up his sleeve, but how much points are you really going to gain? Like, you'd have to be You'd have to calculate that out, and it's only probably going to be him over a rookie for one round. So he'd have to make that up over the course of the season. So look, I think there's actually, I really like him. I think there's a really good chance that he could average 110 for the rest of the year. I think that Gray not being in the midfield, like someone's going to pick up his points. Boak isn't getting huge midfield points, and Wines sort of did at the start, but hasn't been since. And look, I think there's points there up for grabs for him. I think he can take them. But he'd need to have absolutely the best half of a season that he's ever had to justify bringing him in.
I think if I was to take a punt on a player, even though Wines is only averaging the 102, I think I'd take the punt on him. His lowest scores are 56. His next is 70, and then it's an 86. And then he has four scores above 120. So his average is being dragged down by that 56 at the moment. And that was in round six, so it's factored into three price movements. So he's down at 474,000, and I think he's a contender to average 110.
And really here, you're looking at a $50,000 saving over some of those more elite premiums, which could be valuable in a season like this. So you're sort of getting a discount on the fact that he might not average premium numbers. You might get stuck with a 105 averager like you did last year, mate.
So definitely fraught with risk, but if you're considering these sorts of blokes, it's likely that you're really stuffed with your buys and you need some round 12 plays to help mitigate the risk, and therefore they look relatively more attractive because their average is maybe theoretically boosted because they're playing an extra round through the buys. Yeah, these are all considerations. Hopefully some of this discussion is helping you make your own decision, but none of these players that we've talked about so far are slam dunks. We didn't get a question about Ryder, but I did want to quiz you on him, Mark, because the first five rounds he scored under 95 for all of them.
But wasn't he above like 80 for all of them as
That's
well?
That's right, yeah. 75, 87, 87, 83, and 95. So very consistent, and that's off the back of being the number one ruck. You would expect that. But then you look at his last two games, 139 and 115. They weren't off particularly massive disposal rates either. It just seemed like he was a bit more efficient with his tap rocking. But nonetheless, his average has gone up to 97 now. That's pretty close to like a forward premium anyway, Mark. To me, he actually looks the best of the Port blokes.
You've been pretty happy to have him the last couple of weeks because he hasn't just stood there. He's actually, like his tap work has been really good all year. He's been sharked a lot though, which has cost him some points, but he's actually taken some intercept marks in the last couple of rounds, and that's been a huge difference in his scoring. So pretty happy to have him in my team. I think you're paying full price for him. Like I started him at about 440. I thought that was a good price for him. Paying 500 probably seems like a lot, even though he's shown a lot in the last couple of weeks.
All right, last bloke to talk about before we move off, Gary Ablett. Scored that 210 in round six, but I mean, his next highest is 114, and you know, he's only had the three above the 100. I'm guessing it's a no at this stage still.
At 600,000, yeah, definitely. He's still getting the possessions, but he's just not having the impact on the games, not kicking the crucial goals, not hitting the targets inside 50 like he used to. I just don't think he has as much space and time as maybe he used to.
Absolutely fair. All right, let's move past the Gold Coast and Port Adelaide players. I think it does look like the forward line has the best options. I think Tom Lynch and Ryder do look fairly tempting. And then you've still got your Harbrow, Pittard types who aren't too bad in as a backline risk as well. Midfield definitely looks a little bit tougher to choose from. We do have a high standard in the midfield though. All right, let's move on to some rookie talk, Mark. Before we start that, I just do want to note, Hampton is out injured with a high ankle injury. So if you're still holding on to Hampton, unfortunately he wasn't able to push past his peak. And considering he's got the bye in four rounds time, now seems like a pretty good time to move him on, Mark.
Yeah, it's just you'd have to be upgrading because I don't think there's a lot of defensive rookies around.
Let's talk about the rookies who are on the bubble now. So Eden Scones has the first question here. He wants us to compare this week's bubble boys to next. So let's start off by talking about this week's bubble boys. We have Stewart playing for Essendon, McKinney's playing for West Coast, Lloyd playing for GWS with their absolutely decimated team. And then we've got O'Connor playing for Geelong in the back line as well. He's the back line rookie if you wanted to take a job security risk. we did get a question about him from Alistair Campbell. What is O'Connor's job security like? And I would say absolutely terrible. I would be surprised if he plays more than 5 games. So I definitely wouldn't pick him.
But you would not have thought that he would have got a second game either.
No. And I'd be equally surprised if he got a third this week.
And probably pretty surprised he got a first.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, who is this bloke? Why are they giving him games? I haven't seen enough to get a lot out of the bloke. And he doesn't have a lot of exposed junior form having come over any exposed junior form having come over from Ireland as well, Mark. So there's not much to go off, I think, considering he hasn't shown anything. And he plays for Geelong, who have plenty of spares, a hard pass. How about your bloke on the bubble, though, the Essendon bloke, Stewart? He scored 91 last week, and then this week was a little bit disappointing. He scored only the 51 in a win.
Yeah, 51 in a big win as well. Mm. And I think that's pretty concerning. He was the lowest scorer for the Dons. I am a bit worried about a few things with him. I think in the preseason he was scoring like 20s when he was playing for the Bombers. His highest average when he played a lot of games for GWS a couple of years ago was he averaged 51, and not a lot of high scores in there. I think he's sort of just like a lead up, almost decoy. Plays a good role for the Bombers. Like, the Bombers have looked a lot better with that extra tall in the forward line, I think. So the fact that we've won 2 games pretty well in the last 2 weeks against some good opposition means that he will look good in the eyes of the selectors. A fair bit of competition for his spot, though. Like, Belchambers kicked... I know Belchambers is regarded as a ruckman, but he's pretty decent key forward as well. And he kicked 6 in the reserves on the weekend and has been kicking goals pretty much all season down there. And Aaron Francis, we'd want to get games into sometimes, some stage as well. Now, he's carrying a little bit of an injury at the moment, but I think he sort of would play that third tall role as well. The second part is he's 169,000 and his scoring's going to be probably 50s, realistically. You're going to need him to spike 1 or 2 big games. So, look, I want him to work out. I have a lot of doubts on him, though.
That price tag really shouldn't be underestimated at this point in the season. It's going to be the difference between being able to pick up Dylan Roberton over Alex Rance or Jake Lloyd. Like, 50k counts for a fair bit when you're making upgrades. You don't have the time to sort of double down to save up more cash. Like, you need to be efficient with your cash.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there's not a hell of a lot of rookie options this week, so I can understand why some people are tempted, but I am not.
Job security would be the main reason I'd be willing to fork out 170k for him. If I was confident that he'd play a majority of the remainder of the season, and even if he doesn't score well consistently, I would like to think that he'd have another 90 at some stage and be able to spike enough to be worth his starting price point. But yeah, you don't seem to be sort of touting that angle that much either.
It's a little bit like what we discussed at the start of the show, that any rookie that comes into the team at this stage of the year probably doesn't have great job security, because there's a reason why they didn't start in the team round one. Stewart has changed our structure a little bit, which has led us to playing some really good football. So that may be very good for his job security going forward. And I'm not going to be completely surprised if he's in our team for the rest of the season. That wouldn't shock me. But I think that he's going to have to keep performing every week to keep that role.
How about Fraser McInnes? Do you know much about him? He's 155k, and interestingly, a back forward swing player.
Would not touch him with a barge pole personally, because I think Thursday team sheets will probably sort that out, that Petrie will come in and he'll go out more than likely, and Lysette is due back in 3 weeks, and I think that the Eagles will run with Vardy and Lysette, and Petrie third, McInnes is fourth in that list, I think.
All right, that takes us to our last rookie on the bubble this week, Daniel Lloyd, at 117,000. He's actually basement priced, which we'll take. 54 and 47, his last two. There's more outs again this week. I think Steve Johnson's injured.
And Johnson being injured is good for Lloyd's role, because he sort of can play a similar role to Johnson.
Yeah, they're copying injuries left, right, and center, basically. And it doesn't look like Delidio's coming back pre-bye. At least until the buys, his job security looks good, which is potentially good enough. Like, you don't need them to necessarily play past the buys.
I think that he's a standout out of those three for me this week, just because, one, Giants injury list, but two, the fact that he's only 117,000. Even if they had, if they all had really similar job security issues, you would take the cheaper one.
Agree with that.
But you're probably going to get stuck with another player only scoring 50s, and you're going to really hope that he spikes one big game to get a decent price rise.
How about a comparison to next week's rookies, Mark? You've got Greenwood, Bolton, Gallucci, and Perryman. Greenwood, he has mid-forward dual position flexibility, and he scored 104 on debut. That's pretty damn impressive. Albeit it was in a big win.
But he scored, I think, most of his goals in the first half when the game was a bit closer. I think his score is definitely inflated because he played Brisbane, and that's what worries me about getting too excited on one game. Jenkins went out of the side and he came in, so I'm not sure Jenkins would stay out for too long. I think that out of the forwards, he's probably the one that interests me the most at the moment. I would caution someone bringing him in this week, but I would probably understand if someone needed a forward that he was the player that they brought in this week.
The other thing to look at is these players that we're talking about, these rookies, going to stay in your team during the buys. You're not going to be able to trade them out because they're not going to have increased in price enough. And so don't forget that you need to look at your buy structure when considering these players. And so if you are very stacked in round 13 already in the midfield, then potentially Lloyd might not work for you, but Greenwood might work in the forward line, for example. Just something to consider.
Yeah. Definitely worth thinking about.
Shai Bolton, mid-forward dual position flexibility as well, debuted for Richmond over the weekend. Round 12 bye has definitely got to be a bit of a feather in his cap. They've lost four in a row, which you'd assume is okay for rookie job security, Mark, but they still have blokes that easily make their 22 over Bolton as well. So again, concerns about long-term job security.
Yeah, and I think Hardwick said before the game on the weekend that he didn't think that Bolton was ready, but definitely a good debut. Probably concerning that he came in when Butler went out. Keep an eye on him, for sure.
Gallucci is also mid-forward at Adelaide, but he's priced at $150,000, so it's hard to see people picking him off a 57 debut when you've got Greenwood at a cheaper price point and then sort of debuting at 104 for that same flexibility. So he definitely seems like a wait and see for at least one more week. And Perryman's another more expensive player at $150,000, but he's available in the back line, which should be noted this week. As you mentioned, market struggling to find back line downgrade options. Any thoughts on Perryman?
With the Giants injury list, I think he will keep getting games. Number 14 pick last year. I think Gallucci also comes with pretty big wraps, so he might keep getting games. So I'll definitely be keeping an eye out for both of them this week. Just keep in mind that three of the four that you mentioned that might be available next week are all on the round 13 buyer.
Gallucci and Perryman, wait and sees with the price tag. Bolton didn't have great job security based on your comments from Hardwick. So Greenwood's the only one you might go early on. And even still, I think we both recommend going Lloyd ahead of Greenwood in the midfield this week, if at all possible. In the forward line, though, you might go Greenwood at a slightly cheaper price tag than Stewart, potentially, if it makes a difference to your upgrade.
Yeah, I think you've got to make your own call on those guys based on your own information, but I would make the Greenwood call personally.
Last question here on rookies, Mark. Grant Robson is asking whether we'd be tempted to pull the trigger early on Scharenberg, if named this week, playing in the back line in their VFL team. For the last 3 weeks, he's gone 35, 35, 41 disposals. Massive. Absolutely massive. You've been keeping your eye out, Mark, and I'm guessing you're tempted.
I was expecting him to come in last week. I think a lot of people were expecting him in even the week before. Buckley was pretty non-committal on whether he would replace H this week. I would expect him to come in. I guess you'd want to see one game for him. If there was ever a rookie you'd pick without seeing a game, it's him. Inflated price, but look, I have big hopes for Scharenberg. Not sure whether he can live up to them or not.
All right, to finish up the show, Mark, we're just going to go through a few trade-in targets. Tandy Lee asking whether Hibbard's going to be a top eight back. So I really didn't want to talk about Hibbard because I feel like our commentary on him has been pretty accurate so far. But two games in 110, and that'll get people talking. So his break-even's 34, 437,000. Still looks like he has value, but people are thinking this bloke might even be a top six back. I have to get him in, potentially.
I've been a bit skeptical on him, but he's had 33 and 34 touches the last 2 weeks. That's the most possessions he's ever had in a game. And he still presents crazy value at that price. So, look, I think he's probably done enough to convince me over 5 weeks. And the fact that you can do Marchbank to Hibbard for like 60,000, that's going to be pretty hard to resist this week.
Next question is from Paul Garrett asking about Scooter. Has previously averaged over 100. That was at West Coast. He's either still at 280K or thereabouts. Would you consider him? It's only his first game back, so he's scored 102 in his first round back. But round 12 bye, and with people struggling for cash generation, he does look attractive. As I mentioned before, I would pick him over Swallow because he's got an extra 50K that he can go up in price. I think I would just wait at least one more week unless you really, really needed Scooter this week. Like next week, you can downgrade to a 280K player or side swap, and it's not going to cost you too badly because you got three trades. This week, downgrading to Selwood is presumably going to cost you elsewhere with your second trade. So he's not one I would go early on.
I'll think about it for another week. I wouldn't be bringing him in this week. Has averaged over 100 twice, but last 5 years, his games have been 18, 12, 12, 3, and played his first game on the weekend this year, so that ankle has been pretty bad for him.
All right, last question for the week. Darren Lau's asking whether we consider Michael Walters. So we did talk about him in the Patreon bonus show, and we said we'd absolutely consider bringing him in the right team, and one of our listeners did bring him in, and then he pumped out a 130 plus score, which was huge. But I know there was a few of our listeners that didn't get to hear that bonus episode that were asking whether or not that was too late. And when one of the listeners is trying to say that he was trying to give us the scoop on Walters last week. So if you did go through with Walters, he's worked out so far brilliantly after only the one round. I mean, the question is definitely whether he can keep it up for long enough to shoot up in price, but went up 74K in 1 week, Mark. 1 week.
Should you bring Michael Walters in this week? No. Should you go in a time machine back to last week and bring him in? Yes.
So a little bit upsetting because his last two is 137, 135, and he could go up another 70K in another week. So he could potentially go up 150K in 2 weeks, which is insane. But at this stage...
And you get all those points.
But at this stage, too late, so sad, but it can't afford it at 450. All right, Captain's Corner, and let's wrap up. This week, we're probably still looking at Balich out. That's a 7:40 game on a Saturday. So that'll open up the first four games to pick your VC from if you still have Balich. Anyone with... I'm going to try and get this right. I think one of our listeners told us it's Stranadika. He's playing also in that same game. Obviously, Balich and him, they're both...
He's not going to get a game, so it doesn't matter how you pronounce it.
Fair point there. Tommy Rockliffe plays Sunday at 110. So anyone with Rockliffe can pick from the Saturday night games as well. And Hibbard, if anyone still has him, or Pickett, they play at 3:20 on the Sunday, Carlton v North. So if you have either of those two players left, then you can pick from almost anyone as your VC. Geelong do play first again on the Thursday night. So don't forget, Thursday is the first game for the round. If you need to reverse your changes prior to the first game, don't forget to do that. But likely a Dangerfield or Selwood VC for mine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to choose between those two guys, but I think given what we saw last week, you'd probably have to go VC on Danger this week again. And I think maybe Goldstein as the captain, just lock him in. Or a bit of a sneaky one, maybe this might sound ridiculous to listeners, but maybe even Treloar against the Lions. That seems like a team that he could really beat up on.
Or Mr. Dependlebury, who after we doubted him last week, pumped out a 141 over the weekend. So he's right for the picking as well, if anyone still is missing out on him. The other one to consider is Tom Mitchell. I'm also quite tempted to take Mitchell potentially even over Dangerfield or Selwood as a V this week, just because he's playing his old side in Sydney. And when there's a bit of pride on the line, you think that he'll have a bit of a point to prove as well. Mitchell might also be a V option for myself.
Just bragging there, mate.
All right, Mark. That's it for this week's show. Last round until the buys start next week. So last round of normalcy. And then we're going to enter some pretty hectic periods. Hopefully, rookies don't get dropped in the next couple of weeks, because that's the real thing that's going to cause a lot of pain. Do you have anything to leave our listeners with?
Go Bombers, and hopefully my team can post another boost up the rankings, mate, and hopefully you can too.
Patreon.com/supercoachcoach. Don't forget, you can subscribe to sponsor the show and support us. So that's it for this week's show. Thanks again, Mark, and we'll catch you all next week. See ya.
See ya.